You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. There's an important part of the national conversation about violence against women that has not gotten the attention it deserves. Nicole Beverly just touched on it. It's the role of men and boys in preventing domestic violence. Richard Tolman's a professor of social work at the University of Michigan. He believes working with men and boys could help stop domestic violence. Richard, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So you write in the conversation that there is actually not a lot of research out there supporting the idea that working with men and boys could help diminish domestic violence, which kind of surprises me because you kind of think, well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, men, we know, perpetrate most of the violence against women. So it makes sense that we would want to draw our attention to doing something with men that could either stop the violence that's already begun or prevent it from happening in the first place. But the efforts to end domestic violence are still relatively new, and the efforts to involve men in those efforts is newer. Back in the 80s, when I started working in this field, the main attention given to working with men was for programs for men who were arrested or otherwise identified as being domestic violence perpetrators. And so spent a number of decades now trying to develop those programs and look at their effectiveness. The jury's, sadly enough, still a little bit out on that, about conclusive evidence about how effective it is to work with men once the violence has begun. Having done that work a lot, I believe in that work, and I think that it's important work to be done. But it's clearly not the whole solution, because if you are just starting intervention once a lifetime pattern of abuse has begun, much more difficult to change it, and of course then still ensures that future abusers are going to be created and continue that pattern.
So let's fix what happens to that boy before he grows up to become an abusive
man. We need, yeah, and I think there's been an acceptance for a really long time in the movement to end domestic violence and sexual assault, that we're not just talking about change at the individual level. We really have to have societal and cultural change. And so we have to think about the whole ecological picture, where we can think about beginning to make those changes and where we'll have the most effectiveness.
And you've been looking and studying the effectiveness of various programs involving boys and men, and work, you say, isn't as well known as it should be. So I want to start with sports, the kinds of things that are happening there, because it certainly seems like an obvious tie-in. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the approaches that are working that involve coaches and sports?
Yeah, well, there's a number. I mean, and first of all, if you want to talk to men, if you want to reach men, sports is a place to go. Yeah, absolutely. I in my career, I've only been on a guest on a sports talk show one time. I always got asked to do interviews around Super Bowl because there was some data purported to show that domestic violence actually increases during the Super Bowl. That's questionable, but still in all, it's an audience, and that's what a great place to be able to get to talk to men. That's where men are tuning in and listening, and so sports as a forum is important. So there have been these large-scale campaigns. Many sports teams have lent their efforts to various campaigns, even just around the world. In Canada, participation with hockey teams with the White Ribbon Campaign. The White Ribbon Campaign is one of the prominent global campaigns to involve men to seek gender equality and to end violence against women. So they have hockey teams here. We've had these NFL campaigns, Major League Baseball getting involved in various
other places. And they have work to do, because we've seen even on closed circuit TV video of athletes, prominent football players punching out
their
lady.
Yeah, exactly. And again, whether among the people who participate in sports violence is more prevalent, maybe that's that might be disputed, but it's really not so important, because when prominent people commit domestic violence or sexual assault, then it sends a message to society, and our response to that sends a message. And so,
about getting in early with coaches and youngsters? Let's say when they're little boys.
Yeah, I think that's another key. So boys and happily now girls. I was soccer coach for my two daughters. Yeah. So I recognize sports participation for girls being really important as well. But that's a chance for teams, which are one of the sites of where masculinity and what it means to be a boy or a man gets played out. pretty deeply in our culture. And so I think that's a really good starting point. But coaches have the ear of their teams, the respect of their teams. So getting them involved as allies to speak out against violence against women is important. And so there are some programs that have begun. One really prominent one is called Coaching Boys into Men. It was the project of an organization called Futures Without Violence. It's been pretty rigorously evaluated and shown to have impact for settings that adopt this approach. They have coaches get involved. They talk to their teams. They raise these issues. They make it part of the main focus of the sports teams about what it means to be sportsmanlike and to be a good person and to be a good member of a team. These issues play out. And so they have a curriculum for coaches. They get coaches involved together with other coaches and try to foster that kind of a support among a network of men then who are coaching these boys and provide them with information and support and attitudes at a very impressionable age that will hopefully carry on.
And are we seeing situations in school classrooms that kind of augment that or that also take that approach?
Yeah, well, both at middle school, high school, and at university levels, there's really an effort to promote the idea that everybody can be part of the solution for changing attitudes and behavior around domestic violence and sexual assault. So some of these programs go by the name of bystander programs. They have active names like Bringing in the Bystander. The idea is to reach people who themselves might not be someone who's going to perpetrate domestic violence or sexual assault, but someone who wants to be part of the solution. And I just want to say that even though men perpetrate most of the violence against women, there's lots of men who do not perpetrate violence, and they want to be part of the solution. They don't want to lend their support or collusion. Sometimes, and the emphasis of a lot of these programs is that people may not be actively participating, but if they remain silent, if they don't take actions when actions might be called for, or they don't have a proactive stance against it, then that might be lending silent support, or sometimes in the field we use the term collusion. They're colluding with the problem just by their silence. So the idea of these bystander programs is to try to elicit the support of, in the case our target, men and boys, to become part of the active involvement to prevent violence. And so we use, in our research, we use the term violence preventative behaviors. So these programs teach people to recognize situations where their intervention might be useful. They try to help change attitudes towards the problem so that there's less support for it, and encourage both what we call proactive strategies. That might be like an older man talking to a younger man in their network, their son or their nephew or a neighbor or a friend or a coach, a sports team, getting them to talk to younger people about why respect for women is important and why violence is unacceptable. And then there's the reactive strategies. That's maybe the classic situation, very important one on college campuses, where maybe someone has drunk a lot and doesn't seem to be able to really consent to sexual activity, and then they see, and somebody tries to take advantage of that. The idea of just getting in the middle of that and trying to prevent that in some way, either by distraction, speaking to the person who's going to do that, offering support to the young woman who is inebriated and try to help her find her way out of that. And
safely.
So that's, yeah, so that's kind of, it's one of the forms of bystander intervention that is taught about. Identify those situations, identify the actions somebody can take. It's complicated to know when to intervene, when it's safe to intervene, how to safely intervene, but tries to get people in that mindset.
We'll certainly get a lot of good ideas and also links to some of these programs that are out there by going to theconversation.com and looking for Richard Tolman's piece, How Working with Men and Boys Could Stop Domestic Violence. Richard Tolman, professor of social work at the University of Michigan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.